Hello, everybody. Can you believe this crazy year is coming towards its end already? We're into Advent and Christmas is not far away. And this morning, Advent is what I wanted to talk to you about. But what is Advent? What does it mean? Well, the word Advent comes from the Latin verb venio, to come. And advenio means to come towards. So Advent is a time to celebrate both the past and the future. We remember when Jesus came into this world 2,000 years ago, born as a baby, fully human and also fully God. Indeed, Advent helps us to remember and celebrate the amazing truth of John 3, 16-17. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. In the birth of Jesus, God declares, you and I are worth something significant to him. Father God declares his love for each and every one of us and his willingness to save us from our sin. In the birth of Jesus, God the Father demonstrates just how much he loves each one of us. He loves you and me so much that he was willing to send Jesus, his only Son, to be incarnated, to come to earth so that he could save us from our sin. He came to rescue us, and when we place our trust in him, we are saved. Advent reminds us Jesus has come, and something more as well. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Woven through the pages of the Old Testament is the prophetic promise that the Messiah would come, his advent would take place. Perhaps some of the most well-known prophetic words about the coming of the Messiah are found in the book of Isaiah. And this is where I want us to look at Scripture this morning. But before that, let me give you just a little bit of background to put the passage we're looking at today into context. Isaiah is speaking to the king of Judah, King Ahaz. Now, King Ahaz was a man who was pretty evil. He was so evil that he actually sacrificed his own children to false gods. So words that you could use to describe Ahaz, well, evil is one. Sick, twisted, these are others. At this time, the Assyrian Empire was steadily increasing in influence and power, and many of the nations of this region were scared about what would happen to them. Syria and Israel wanted to form an alliance, along with Judah, to oppose the growing power of the Assyrians. So they made a proposition to King Ahaz. But he didn't know what to do. Because of his hesitation, Syria and Israel turned against him. They decided that they were going to punish him and get rid of him. Syria and Israel wanted to put another king on the throne of Judah so that they could carry out their plans. But King Ahaz heard that they had turned against him, and that scared him. So Isaiah the prophet was sent to the king to calm him down, to give him a message of comfort. And we read that message in chapter 7 of Isaiah. Listen to or read with me the words of Isaiah 7, verses 10 to 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So Isaiah said to Ahaz, if you would only trust in God, if you would only put your faith in God, if you would just give everything into his hands, then you would be all right and God would look after you. He would take care of you. Isaiah commanded Ahaz to test God, to ask God to prove this message was from him by asking God to confirm it with a sign. But Ahaz, in his pride, in his stubbornness, refused and went his own way. Ahaz trusted in his own wisdom and did not listen to the voice of God. Ahaz made a treaty with another nation. Ahaz made a covenant with the enemy. He sided with the king of Assyria. Instead of uniting with Syria and Israel, Ahaz went and joined the enemy. But things didn't go as Ahaz had hoped, and the king of Assyria broke the treaty, and Ahaz ended up in a far worse situation than where he had started. Ahaz turned his back on God, even though he had already been warned by God. God had said he would send the sign of his own choosing, and the sign would be a baby. A child would be conceived, a miracle child would be born of a virgin, and would be called Emmanuel. Now, simply put, Emmanuel means God with us. As Charles Wesley, the great hymn writer, put it, "Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." Emmanuel. The baby was named even before his birth, God with us. If Ahaz would wait, if Ahaz would have faith, all the pressure, all the threat, all the onslaught from the other nations around, it would all pass away and all would be at peace. But Ahaz refused to listen to the voice of God. Yet God did not withdraw his promise because of the king's unfaithfulness. God was faithful to the remnant of those people in the nation of Judah who were faithful to him. And God said, "I'm going to send this baby, regardless of whether Ahaz trusts me or fails me. This child will be born, a virgin will conceive, and his name will be Emmanuel." In all the trials and tribulations, in all the pressure that the nation of Judah faced, even though their king betrayed them, even though their king buckled under the pressure of human men and kings and politicians, God remained faithful to his people. And that's what Emmanuel meant to Isaiah. Divine hope, God's grace, God's faithfulness in the midst of human failure. And that's what Emmanuel should mean to us as well. Now, this name Emmanuel, I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, is only found three times in the whole of the Word of God. It's found twice here in Isaiah, in chapter 7, then again in chapter 8, verse 8. And it's found also in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Emmanuel. God with us. God is not just looking after us. God doesn't just have his hand on us and care for us. But with the birth of this child, God's very presence has come to dwell on earth. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born," speaking of this child, Emmanuel. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." There's another name for God mentioned here, the Mighty God. We talked about the names of God some months ago. In Hebrew, this name, the Mighty God, is El Gibor. And this child signified the living presence of the eternal, mighty God with his people. And the advent, the coming of that child was certain. He was going to be born. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Emmanuel. Here in Matthew 1, the only time this name is mentioned in the New Testament. The birth of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God's presence with his people comes through the birth of a baby, a child. Titus 2 verse 11 puts it like this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." The baby spoken of in Isaiah's prophetic word is Jesus, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. Isn't this amazing? Advent is also a good time to remember that Jesus, as he promised, is going to come again. Exactly when his second advent will be, we do not know, but the Bible is clear that Jesus will return. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus spoke to his disciples about the future, his second advent. And in verses 25 to 28 of that chapter, Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is growing near." Tony Campolo, the American pastor, author, who was the spiritual advisor of Bill Clinton, once said that when he was growing up, preachers used to scare the kids by warning them that Jesus could appear at any time. Because of this, he says he grew up with a constant fear that every time he went to the cinema, Jesus would return during the film and he'd never find out quite how the film ended. I have to say that I heard a lot of sermons like this when I was a youngster too. And for a while I was worried about what I would be doing when Jesus returned. I was almost paranoid about it. What if I was listening to a record? Or what if I was out with my friends? And I've got to tell you this story. I had a friend who lived in Daventry. And one day he phoned me up in a right old flap. He said, Paul, you're still around. Are your mum and dad about? And I said, well, no, actually they're not. They're at church or whatever. He said, I can't find my mum and dad either. And I phoned Paul, our other friend Paul, and his mum and dad aren't around either. Do you think the rapture's happened? Do you think we've been left behind? Oh, bless him. Phil, he really did have some sort of an imagination. But there are questions here for us. And I suppose the real question for us to think about is this. When Jesus returns, what would you want him to find you doing? Or, if you knew the second advent of Jesus was tomorrow, would you do anything different from yesterday or today? Or to put it perhaps more succinctly, if there are things you'd do differently tomorrow, should you actually be doing things differently today? Advent reminds us Jesus has come and he is coming again. Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He suffered a cruel death on a cross. He carried the punishment of your sins and mine. Yet he rose triumphant from the grave, ascended into heaven, and one day he will return. Hallelujah. His return is good news for those who trust in him as Lord and Saviour. Jesus is good news for those who have already repented and turned from their sins. He is good news for those who are living as disciples of Jesus. He is good news for those whose destiny is to spend eternity with God. I hope I can number you with those folks, knowing that you have given your lives to Jesus. So, I want to ask you a question this morning before it's too late. Have you invited Jesus Christ into your life? Have you repented? Have you turned from your sin and been saved by trusting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Do you see your need to know Emmanuel? Do you see your need to know the joy of God with you? Is Jesus your Emmanuel? Do you see that out of the darkness of your life, or your depression, or your illness, or your weariness, whatever it is, the pressures of the world that are coming in upon you, can you see that God in his Son has sent Emmanuel? God has come to be with you. God has come to rescue you. God has come to save you from your sin. His love, his grace, his mercy, his saving power is available to you today if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. There is hope found here. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the reason for Christmas. Christ Jesus came into this world, Emmanuel, God with us, to save us from our sin. What does Emmanuel mean to you? A God who cares for you. A God who understands you. A God who loves you. A God who is with you. A God who forgives you. A God who gives you the free gift of salvation. A God who has saved you. Who is Emmanuel to you? God took on flesh, took on substance that we might see him. As John says, that we might touch him, that we might worship him, that we might hear him. God took human form. Jesus came as a baby and grew into a man, fully God, yet fully human. He could be seen, he could be touched, people could hear him speak. Emmanuel, God with us. Do you see Emmanuel is with you? Jesus is God with us. Yet many shut their eyes to him. The people wanted to see God, but when they saw God, they shut their eyes to him. They refused to acknowledge the glory that shone from him to them. God put Christ, his Son, the Word of God, into human flesh so that people could speak with him. Yet many rejected him and his words. Do you see Emmanuel is with you? Emmanuel, God is with us. Are you going through the storms of life? Have you had enough of pandemics and lockdowns? Are you going through the storms of sickness or bereavement or pain? Are you going through the storms of loneliness or desertion? Whatever storms you're going through, listen to this. Emmanuel, God is with us, means also that God is with you. Emmanuel, Jesus, God is with us. In the person of the Holy Spirit, God has come to stay. He has come to dwell. He has come to reside with us. Maybe you feel like you're on your own today. But no matter where you are, no matter how lonely you are, no matter how you feel, no matter where you are in your life, listen, God is with you. As we come to a close right now, let's understand this. God is our everlasting Father. He is the omnipotent comforter who is with us wherever we go and in whatever we do. For the fed up, for the sick, for the lonely, for the deserted, for those going through the shadow of the valley of death, listen, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. God took upon himself our nature. God took upon himself our being, our feelings, our emotions, so that he could empathize, so that he could sympathize. God with us. He had such glory, such beauty, such splendor, yet he left it all. He came down to be with us. God became human to be God with us. This is God's promise to us today. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit who now dwells in our heart. Wherever we are, he is there with us. God is with you all the time. He is Emmanuel. It means you can never be alone. God is with you all the time. So finally, whatever your need today, let this word sink into your mind and your heart. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God is with you. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard some people speaking recently saying Christmas is cancelled. Let me tell you, Christmas is not cancelled, for the reason for Christmas is alive forevermore, and he lives with me and he lives with you. So let's celebrate this Christmas like never before, telling the whole world that Christmas means God with us. us. Amen.